So what is the prosperity gospel exactly? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in. We sure are happy to come to you through your radio, podcast, or however you get this episode. Now, before we go to today's discussion, I want to remind you about our national conference, one of my favorite things that I do all year. The National Conference of the Grace Evangelical Society is happening on October 26th through October 29th, and it's taking place at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. I really hope that you can join us this year. For more information, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. We're taking your questions. You can send them to radio@faithalone.org. And here is a question from Elpidio. Elpidio. That's Greek for hope, isn't it? Or that sounds like the Greek word for hope.
Well, Elpis or Elpidio is hope. You're exactly right.
And he says, what is the proper gospel and how is it different from the prosperity gospel?
Oh, wow. Good question.
Now, well, prosperity gospel.
Let's go over that one first.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, if you turn on the TV, if you're going to listen to major Christian media, you are probably going to be exposed to the prosperity gospel. They have the most television stations, the biggest churches, like Joel Osteen in Houston.
Right.
He has this huge, I mean.
Isn't that Creflo Dollar, too?
Creflo Dollars, and he's an interesting guy. Joyce Myers, I think she kind of falls into that camp. Some of the older prosperity guys have died. Actually, down the street from us is Kenneth Copeland, big prosperity guy. So what is the prosperity gospel?
Well, it's basically the idea that you're born again by believing message one, but there's another message, a message two, which gives you prosperity.
Right.
The death of Christ was intended not only to be the means by which your sins are taken away so that you have everlasting life by faith in him, but also the death of Christ provides for physical healing so that you never get sick, and it provides the potential. Now, it's not a guarantee that you're never going to get sick because you got to walk in the faith walk, according to them. But also, financial prosperity is also part of the atonement.
Right. Here's a key verse for them, or one of the verses they point to. And to be fair to them, the Old Testament covenants, God was definitely promising Israel blessing and prosperity in the land.
Material.
Yeah, material
right.
blessing and
right.
prosperity. But here's one from, it's 3 John, and I've heard them quote this many times. 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And so they'll take that to mean, you know, all means all. God wants you to prosper in all things, including your health, just as your soul prospers. And so prosperity gospel guys have this whole theology built up around that, that, you know, you're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and influential for God. In some ways, I want to agree that God wants you to have abundant life. Right.
Of course. But, you know, you mentioned about how Israel was promised material prosperity if they obeyed him.
Right.
But that was a kingdom. It wasn't the kingdom to come, but it was a nation.
Right.
A theocratic nation.
Right.
And God was promising to bless his theocratic nation. God promises us as believers prosperity, but it's in the life to come.
Well, I see, that's the other way where I feel that I agree with prosperity theology, but the timing is different.
Right. We're promised that when we gain our glorified bodies, then we are going to have health, and we're going to have wealth, and we're going to have prosperity. Not all the same, of course. Some will have more abundant lives than others based on what we've done in this life.
Yeah.
That's the doctrine of eternal rewards we've talked about on many different episodes. But the point is, in this life, the Lord says, and the apostles say, we have tribulation.
And we're supposed to lay up treasure.
Not on earth.
In heaven.
Matthew
right?
chapter 6.
So, yeah, treasure is, you know, God wants to give us treasure. Probably, I mean, you take that extremely literally.
Yeah.
We're going to be in real kingdoms with real houses, and we're really going to be expanding our influence and whatnot in the kingdom. But that's in the kingdom. That's in the next life after Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom.
But
it's
now,
not now.
Yeah, but now, of course, John is praying for physical health.
Right. And he is praying that you prosper in all things.
Right. And he prayed for that. But that's not automatic.
No. And it's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing that I don't have to worry about buying groceries for my kids, that I have enough money to do that, you know?
And by the way, I was talking to, I don't know if it was you or Mark, but I think it was Mark. And he said the other day that if you took all the poor people in the United States, people who fall under the poverty line, and you put them all together, they would be something like the 20th wealthiest country in the world.
Oh, that was an article by Walter Williams that was recently published.
Yeah, and Mark brought it in. We both read it. Yeah. And Walter Williams made this point that it'd be one of the wealthier countries because among the people who are classified as poor in our country, a high percentage have at least one car.
Right.
I think it was over 90% have a TV.
Right.
They have at least one cell phone. They have food to eat. They have something. I can't remember what the number was. Something like 40% of them own their own house.
Wow.
And they're called poor.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
What he was saying is our people we call poor would be rich in any other country or in most other countries. And I think that's really true. We have a very skewed view of prosperity.
Yeah, so historically what you're saying is our poor, quote-unquote, are rich compared to most people in the world right now.
Right, but for sure but historically.
I mean, my grandmother grew up with, you know, no running water, dirt floors, no toilet paper. Any poor person today, most poor people today would be phenomenally more wealthy than she was.
My mom and dad, I was the baby in my family, so my mom and dad came through the Depression as young adults. And they lived with my mother's mom and dad because they couldn't afford to live anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And they ate rabbits and chickens that they raised in Southern California.
Right.
And when they wanted something special like beef, they would take their rabbit or their chicken to the butcher and they would swap out so many rabbits for some beef.
So one day your pet Hoppy disappeared.
Exactly. Actually, that did happen.
Yeah, I know it did.
That is a true story. But that was because my dad knew how to do it because when he was in his 20s, he was butchering rabbits.
So I think of another verse. Coming back to this question by Elpidio, Paul, in a very misquoted verse, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13.
People think that means you can become an NBA player or you can be the next Einstein. But really, he was talking about, I've known, just in the verses before, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. So he knows how to be rich, but he also knows how to be poor. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. So Paul wasn't saying, I just think about that because it could be that there are believers who abound in this life, have lots of stuff. And that's okay. That's not a sin in and of itself, but you have to just be prepared for it to go the other way. There's no guarantee that it won't go the other way.
Right. If you were in much of the world today and you were giving this prosperity gospel message, it wouldn't be well received. People would know it was nuts. I mean, if you're in Mumbai or if you're in North Korea and you're a believer in North Korea, how prosperous are you going to be if you send money into some of these prosperity? I don't think you're going to get real prosperous.
Well, I see. I think it's the exact opposite.
Oh, you do?
I think these messages are going crazy. They're super popular in places like Africa or South America because people have been poor for so long and they've suffered. They know what it's like not to know where their next meal is coming from. And they just love this message that God wants me to be rich and not have to worry about that. And so they fall for all kinds of scams. I keep on reading about...
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? That's the message that they're craving because they have all this... They live in poverty.
But I like this. You're calling this a spiritual scam.
It's a scam, absolutely. You can go on YouTube and you can watch the scams that these guys do. I saw this one preacher. He paid one of his relatives to pretend to be dead. They had a whole funeral. He's in the coffin. And then suddenly the preacher does the prayer and his relative, who's pretending to be dead, comes back to life. And the people are just, wow, this guy has, you know, miracle powers. Here's my money. But the problem was that there was videos of beforehand of the dead relative getting into the coffin.
So it all, the scam was exposed.
It's just a pure scam. Oh, yeah, the scam was exposed. Coming back to our message, you know, I have to say, I think a lot of the prosperity preachers are scams nowadays, I think.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, they genuinely believe it, and I'm going to give it. I think they're wrong, but they genuinely believe what they believe. But I think a lot of it is a scam. I mean, the whole, if you sow a $100 seed, you'll get, like, you'll reap $100,000.
Well, remember Bob Tilton? And we're real close. He was in Carrollton. He had this faith, whatever it was.
Yes.
He was getting all these donations with prayer requests. There was an expose done where they were throwing away the prayer requests without even reading them.
Yes.
Certainly not praying for them, but he was on TV saying, we pray for every petition, one by one. We're so concerned. And yet people used to joke, they'd say, praise Bob for Bob Tilton, because it really wasn't praising God. It was praising Bob. And Bob Tilton ended up and went through all kinds of calamities,
the
divorce, and then having to move his ministry to another state, and I don't know what ultimately happened to him. You had something similar with Praise the Lord and Jim Baker.
Oh, Jim Baker, yeah.
Yeah, and he even went to prison because he was misusing ministry funds, and that was kind of a prosperity theology.
Yeah, yeah. So the true gospel, though, to sum it up, the true gospel is about Jesus, that he died for sin on the cross. And he rose again from the dead on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And he did that to make everlasting life possible. So the gospel is really not about how rich you can become. It's about Jesus dealing with the sin problem and the death problem so that he can give us everlasting life through faith in him.
That is exactly right. The true gospel, which you just mentioned, is about sacrifice. John picks up on this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you want to apply the cross, lay down your lives for other brothers and sisters in Christ. Give away your money to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Give away your money to the poor. Give away your money to your local church, for sure, to be doing your part. The key to the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are following our Savior, not to be born again, but to please Him and to hear Him say, one day, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about a very interesting Bible character, Caiaphas. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.